Hello and welcome back. Due to a reading comprehension error, I'm working to bring you a podcast on Labor Day. That's probably a faux pas. Uber is working to bring e-commerce delivery a little bit closer to home, using those empty car back seats of those idling cars in their fleet. A prolific cell phone tapping tool called Stingray now requires a warrant if federal agencies like the FBI and the DEA want anything to do with it anymore. Fiat Chrysler recalling 8,000 cars due to a hacking risk, and a New York City teacher arrested for crashing a drone into the U.S. Open. It's episode 5. Let's get started. All right, it's time for a little segment I like to call This Week in Privacy. We're talking about the Stingray. The Stingray is the name of an actual product produced by the Harris Corporation. It's also colloquially used to describe a kind of device, which the Stingray is. And that is to say, it is a fake cell phone tower. It can intercept any calls or text messages. It can force phones to connect to it instead of other local cell towers. It can intercept any data being passed to and from your phone. And depending on what they are using the Stingray for and the information you're sending and their ability to decrypt it, they can completely compromise the security of your phone and completely own it. This is a very scary device. You have a lot that lives on your cell phone. You have a lot of your life that exists on your cell phone. And you are never, ever aware of what cell phone tower your phone is attempting to connect to. Your phone does this automatically, and the Stingray takes advantage of that by spoofing the appearance of being the nearest cell phone tower. So law enforcement agencies have been using Stingrays across the country at the local police level, at the FBI level, the DEA, the ATF, the U.S. Marshals Service, probably every single federal agency that does any kind of ground-level surveillance, ground-level police work, and needs access to any kind of phone records or information. This device is astonishingly prevalent because, obviously, as you can tell, it's incredibly useful. And up until recently, pretty much every single federal agency out there has not required a warrant to use one. So the Department of Justice has just issued a ruling, a decision that says that now all of these federal agencies must acquire a warrant before putting one of these out in the field and using it and entering whatever data they capture into the chain of evidence, into whatever investigation they're pursuing. So this is a big step. This has been a creeping privacy violation that has existed for years now since this device has been out there. And it's probably been compromising personal privacy for a very long period of time. More concerning to me is its use at the local police level, where it is pretty much the Wild West, being used to gather all kinds of data, uncover chains of evidence that lead to other chains of evidence to make arrests and prosecutions based on a flagrant violation of your personal privacy. That's still going on right now, but this ruling that came out has, at least at the federal level, stopped this heavy-level abuse. Now, there are places where lawsuits are being filed at the local level against police departments that have used the Stingray device before. There have been instances where prosecution has pretty much been dropped if any mention or any request about information about Stingray technology has been made by the defendants about the reasons why anybody knew to even arrest them. So they just dropped the case instead of leaving the opportunity for somebody to challenge the use of this device in investigation and prosecution of criminals. This is kind of the brave new world of broadcasting your information all of the time and relying on the hardware and software that lives in your pocket to make secret, supposedly secure handshakes with other networks, with Wi-Fi networks, with cell phone towers, with other cell phones. This is basically a device that preys on the trust, the underlying layer of trust that defines modern networking between smart devices. And it's pretty much completely unregulated. Now, this was a Department of Justice ruling or decision that applies to all of the federal agencies that operate at the behest and alongside the Department of Justice. This is an area of law that is very, very untouched by the court system. So there's a lot of legislation and a lot of judicial law that has to be created to account for this kind of surveillance. This is sort of an uncharted territory for a lot of law enforcement. And while there is no oversight, while there is no requirement for warrants, they are taking massive and immediate action to take advantage of it. And it's something we should be concerned about. But this is a good first step, and it's encouraging, and it means that the use of these devices is well known, and that the security and privacy implications of flagrantly using them for whatever reason is also well known at the DOJ. But I think there's a lot more work to do. If you drive any kind of Jeep, this has probably not been a very fun podcast to listen to. But Fiat Chrysler is recalling 8,000 SUVs, including the newest 2015 Jeep Renegade SUV, due to a hacking risk. And I think they're probably being especially cautious because they experienced a totally compromised car after a hacking exercise by several security researchers who were recently hired by none other than Uber. But we're going to be seeing a lot more of this. This is kind of a one-off seemingly right now, but the profile of these kinds of recalls is going to increase significantly. We're going to see a lot more of these. We're going to see a lot more hacks being advertised. There's going to be zero-day vulnerabilities on cars, like there are on browsers and operating systems. There are going to be hacks sold on the black market. And one of these days, not yet, but relatively soon, I anticipate we're going to see an instance of some kind of car accident where the liability lies with the car manufacturer because the car was hacked and something bad happened to somebody, and the manufacturer did not take appropriate steps to secure that car against hacking. So, only question is, who's going to be the first one? And I can tell you right now, Fiat Chrysler is desperately trying not to be it. Don't call it a comeback. They've been here for years, and Uber is trying a little something new. They've got their big distributed logistics network built out for all of their cars to pick up and ferry people around, but it seems inevitable that they would branch out into delivery. So they're planning on partnering with, in the fall, several big retailers to act as the delivery and sort of logistics portion of end-to-end quick delivery of any kind of product, really, via Uber drivers. It's probably going to start in New York City and then roll out to San Francisco. They appear to be targeting a bunch of luxury brands, the kind of people who would be okay with an Uber delivery premium on getting whatever expensive item it is into their homes. So, no big surprise there. They're apparently in conversations with some commerce platforms. They want to roll this initiative out to, it would be impressive if they rolled it out to hundreds, if not thousands, of different retailers or storefronts. But in order to do that, you probably want to tap into a common infrastructure. It doesn't make a lot of sense to plug into individual mom-and-pop stores unless there's some unified way to do it. So they've been talking with Shopify and BigCommerce. Now, this is interesting because Shopify has been tapped by a lot of different people in early-stage conversations when a commerce effort is being rolled out. For example, Twitter reached out to Shopify when they were testing out their buy buttons and trying to build the Twitter Shop Collections, which you may not have heard much of, does not seem to have made a huge splash by any accounting, but it seems to be a powerful partner to be able to bring on somebody like Shopify and say, hey, we immediately have enabled thousands of stores with delivery. So they're reaching out to those partners, and you can expect that to roll out everywhere if it's successful in New York City and San Francisco, but probably to the larger metropolises and probably to the wealthier ones and probably in the wealthier neighborhoods of the wealthier ones, the people who don't have sticker shock. For the rest of us, I think the instant delivery options of retailers with scale already, like Amazon, might beat them to the punch. But we'll see. A man in New York City has been listening to the new hit single by The Police, Don't Drone So Close to Me. He's a teacher from New York City, and he flew a drone over the U.S. Open and crashed it into the stands, and was arrested a few hours later after the police somehow figured out where he was. He happened to be within 5 miles of an airport, which is a big no-no. In the big unregulated world of drones, that's one of the few cardinal rules you can't break, at least not yet. It's an area that doesn't have a lot of law around it, and this is not even the scariest or most interesting case of somebody being arrested for using a drone in a stupid way. But we're in for a wave of these. Drones are cheap, getting cheaper all the time, getting better all the time. And people are putting stuff on them. People are taping guns to drones. People are taping knives to drones. They've got their cameras on there. They're dropping streamers. They're depositing balloons. They're delivering burritos. And we don't know the extent of what people are going to think up. There's simply no concept for the idea of somebody controlling something that can fly into your bedroom window or hover over a secure facility somewhere or buzz people at a stadium. We just don't know what to do about it. Except maybe arrest this teacher for crashing his drone at the U.S. Open, which they are none too pleased about. But he's not the first. He's not going to be the last. But he might be getting the mild end of the punishment that's going to come for misusing a drone. But that is probably not preoccupying the tens of thousands of Americans who are probably flying a drone over their Labor Day barbecues right at this very moment. Thanks for listening to a very abbreviated Labor Day edition of Well, Don't Just Stand There. As always, I'm Johan. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Johan Benedict with a K. And I will see you guys bright and early, start of next week. I'll see you then. Music provided under Creative Commons license by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.